And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man.
And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle.
And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God.
Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men.
And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000.
And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone.
By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone.
For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt.
And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship pebbles, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which can be conceived.
Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you revealed to us in your word that we might know your will. We might understand more about you. We pray, Lord, that people will call upon you and be saved. We pray that many will be saved in these days. And Lord, we just ask for everyone in this room and the sound of my voice that, Lord, you'd have your will and your way in each of our hearts and lives. And if anyone here is without Christ, we hope and pray that they will turn to you and get saved. And Lord, have your way in each of our lives. Touch us by your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Before I get into chapter 8, which is a very interesting chapter, I did some searching and came up with other places in the Bible where it talks about this time period. What we're talking about is the judgment of God upon the earth. And this is something that is not only in the Revelation, but it's all throughout the Bible. And all I did was chose seven that I'd like to read with you and let you read with me if you can. Jeremiah 37. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now that's what we've read so far, that God has these Jews, 144,000 male virgin Jews that he's going to seal and save, and they're going to come out of it, all this trouble, even though it's called Jacob's trouble. Now in Isaiah 2:17, And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. This is a day that's coming, and it's been known and prophesied throughout the Old Testament. In Isaiah 2:21, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. You notice what we've been reading about in the book of Revelation. That's what he's talking about. And then Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, will recompense thee for all thine abominations, and mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Then the book of Zephaniah. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And then Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at a time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And then Matthew 24:1, we've got another prophet. His name's Jesus Christ. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. But except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, that's seven passages in the Bible that were very easy to find and very easy for you to find. It says this book of Revelation is not something that just springs upon us and there's no precedent for it. It's been planned all along. I think about Noah. I think about how we have children's books about Noah and the sweet little animals and all of them coming, and they come into the ark, you know, and the stories are just nice, nice, nice. Do you realize how many people died? Do you realize that's a judgment? God got disgusted with mankind and mankind's wickedness. And they didn't listen to his prophets. They didn't listen to his preachers. And so God judged them. And what happened? Eight people of Adam's heritage. How many people were on the face of the earth that time? I don't know, but we have a way of multiplying, don't we? We have a way of multiplying. I don't know how many millions. I don't know how many millions of people died and eight people lived. Four men and four women. That's all of Adam's race that came down through that flood. And 40 days that flood was on the earth. And you know what? Sweet grandmothers died. Sweet little babies died. Big businessmen, rich people died. Soldiers died. Only eight people lived. Now that ark is a type of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the ark lived. Everybody in the ark was protected from the destruction all around. And that's what you need Jesus Christ for. Because you need to be in Christ in order to be saved from whatever destruction or problem or trouble that's coming in. Now what we have here in the book of Revelation, this particular chapter, it's amazing. I don't really like scary movies. I like it where the good guy wins and gets the girl and they go off and live happily ever after. I don't like some of these European movies. Well, we do a lot of them in our country today too. And to me, one of the stupidest things I've ever seen is this living dead. How do you kill a man that's living dead? You know? And where did you come up with that? And then zombies and stuff like that. Well, you know, when I'm reading this right here, God's got you beat. None of your movies come close to what's coming out of here. This is destruction, and this is absolutely terrible, and God's letting you know about it. The book of Revelation is not a sealed book. It's a very open book. It's got only one part, seven thunders, that is sealed, was not given out. I personally believe that when God was given his vision to Daniel, and he saw this thing, and he started to write it, and God said, no, you don't write that. That's for another time. I believe what he showed to Daniel that he didn't let him write is the book of Revelation. And he let John write that. That's the last living apostle. Now, I wonder about a lot of things. I wonder why Peter gets crucified upside down and John goes on and lives to be 100 years old, maybe. I wonder why by James being killed and Peter being delivered. You and I don't know exactly what God's got for our life. And it's not going to be what God has for somebody else. It's going to be what God has for you. Now, when we read this chapter 9, as we just read it, you know, that's pretty scary stuff. It's wild. We're going to get down to the place, and it's going to say, after all of these things happened, they repented not. You know, there's a lot of people that just walk down and say, I believe in Jesus. I don't think you get saved unless you repent. I think repentance is that important. I think you have to have a consciousness of sin. You have to know that you're a sinner. And you have to come to God and ask him to forgive you. And God in his mercy has mercy on you. If you stand in your rebellion and shake your fist at God, he's not going to have mercy on you. You repent. And what we're going to study today when we get to the end of it is going to say they repented not. Now, this is scary. It's a scary thing. You know why it's scary? Because I believe it. I believe it. And I sure hope my premillennial view and pre-tribulation view is correct because I don't want to go through any of this. All right, look at verse 1. The fifth angel sounded. Now, we'd finished chapter 8. Oh, I wanted to say in chapter 8, Flavio came up the other day, last Sunday, and he said, you know, the heavens, the sun and stars for a third part of the day could be smoke. And you know, that's true. You had a great mountain like a volcanic eruption cast into the sea. And you remember just been a few years ago, some of our missionaries were stranded in France, Charles de Gaulle, or England. They couldn't fly because the little bitty dusty sand that was up there in the skies ran into those jet engines and just ate them up. Just destroyed those engines and they could not fly. And so some of our missionaries, well, now what do you think if you have this big of a volcanic eruption, how much dust is there going to be in the sky? If you have all the grass burning and a third of the trees burning, what in the world is going to be of the smoke up there? As I understand it, the fires in California are seen clearly by the space station that goes around. So what we could have, we'd have an awful lot of smoke, see? And that makes a clear explanation of that part of chapter 8. All right, chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, the star is a person. He's a personage. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So here we've got even smoke right here as we begin chapter 9 from coming right out of hell. The bottomless pit is in hell. I believe hell is in the heart of the earth. And so the bottomless pit, there's smoke coming out of that pit, and you got this angel going down there to control it. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. You ever had a scorpion? You ever been stung by a scorpion? When we moved in and built our house out in Bernie, we built it right over 100,000 nests of scorpions. We didn't have a lot of things, but we had scorpions. And we had them for 20 years. They would be in the light fixtures. They would be all sorts of places. I don't know how you'd kill them. I don't know how you'd get rid of them. But now my kind were about that long. Just about that long. And one time in the night, it had been on the fan. I had a fan over my bed. And I didn't generally sleep with any cover. And so the fan is turning around, and that scorpion, brown, lands on me. And I realized what it was. Man, I'm slapping and flipping and going, and I flipped him off on the floor. My floor's brown. I never did get that scorpion. He got me, but I didn't get him. And they're scary things. How long does it take for you to get over a scorpion bite? Hour or two, a day or two maybe, not much. He said these locusts are like scorpions. Now, you know what a locust is. What a locust does, it's an animal that eats everything green. And you see them in the plagues, you know. And we certainly had them in the plagues and during the dust days and the Dust Bowl days and whatever. They came over and ate everything green. And, man, you planted your crops, and they get up just about right, and here come 100 million locusts coming, you know, or however many it is. And they eat up your green things. Now, these things are coming out of hell. Look what he says. Open the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened, and there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions. These locusts don't have anything green to eat. It's all burned up. But what they're doing, they're not eating. They're not going after crops. They're going after the men that don't have the seal of God. Isn't that amazing? That's scary. Don't have the seal of God. It was commanded them. Look at verse 4. They should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. That sounds bad. I've spent 3 months with a broken ankle and trying to get it back right, and supposedly it's healing still slowly because he said I'm old. I'm also a diabetic, so the two things against me there, but it's healing anyway. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, they weren't going to hurt the grass, only those men that have the seed, that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You know what the normal lifespan of a locust is? 5 months. How about that? And what are we going to have here? They're going to have the sting of a scorpion that's going to burden them for 5 months. That's terrible. Would you be scared of that? I'd be scared of that. I'm more scared of that than I am the axe murderer going through the things and trying to catch the people and these zombies that they've got out here, you know, and Count Dracula and all of the imagination of man. Man, right here in the book of Revelation, you get the imagination of man. I'm just about like it. It ought to scare the living daylights out of you. It does me. Not going to hurt the grass, only the men. Tormented 5 months. Now look at verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire today to die, and death shall flee from them. I understand people's desire to die. I've visited many, many people that were old or feeble or had been in great pain. They could not get their pain eased. And they said, why am I still alive? Why doesn't God let me die? Well, I don't know. I can't answer a lot of the why questions. They're just beyond me. They're in God's mind, and I don't understand half the things that happen to me. But here, men, they are tormented. What if you got 3 stings? What if 3 locusts hit you? And you're going to get this torment 5 months. Well, we know what it is like. You know what it's like to have pain and to live with something that you really have a hard time thinking about. Well, that's what they are here, and they want to die. They want to die. Oh, man, they want to get rid of this pain from this locust that they have here. Now, look at the shapes of the locust, verse 7. And the shapes of the locust were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. Now, I don't think they're anywhere near as big as horses. I think it's just what they look like. These locusts that he's got coming out here with these stings, he said the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle. Now, we don't have many battle horses around today, but if you look in the old movies of knights riding horses and jousting with those big long poles and whatever, what were the horses like? Well, they weren't the little cow ponies and quarter horses that we like right here. They were the great big ones like the Clydesdales. Not as pretty as the Clydesdale. One time I took Verlene to the rodeo. We didn't go to the rodeo. Actually went to the animal shows, the barns back behind. And they had the certified biggest horse in the world. A man from England owned it. It was something. It was about the size of a Clydesdale. I guess it was bigger. But it looked, oh, good night. You look at that horse right there standing. It's huge. Well, that's what a knight wanted. Why? Because he's got a piece of metal hanging down the front so it doesn't get his chest caved in or stabbed or whatever. They've got plates on the sides of it. And then the knight on him has all this metal on him. They had to have big horses. They couldn't ride your little quarter horse. I mean, your quarter horse would outrun him, but boy, when that big one got on, all that weight, big man, well, that's what it's like. He said these locusts, like horses prepared unto battle. He didn't say they were horses, that's what they looked like. And on their heads were crowns of gold. Now, they did not have crowns of gold on their head, but it's what it looked like. On the head of these locusts, like a crown of gold. And then look at their face, the faces of men. Man, this is inner sanctum. I mean, this is wild when you think about something like this. This will give you nightmares if you believe it and think you're going to get around close to it. They had the faces of men. There's this little locust coming along, and it's a man's face. Are you getting the picture? I hope you do. And they had hair as the hair of women. Sound like a bunch of hippies to me. You got the face of a man and a bunch of long hair like a woman's hair. So we got hippie locusts. And they had breastplates on it. No, excuse me. And their teeth were the teeth of lions. You know how a lion has a mouth? This is one scary thing. It would equal all of Hollywood's desire to give us a scare. And this is real. God is telling you what's going to happen on the face of the earth. This is how it's going to be destroyed this time. How destroyed the first time? By water. He prepared one man and his family They said he was a preacher of righteousness, so I imagine for the time he was working on that ark while he was preaching and telling people that there was a flood coming, and they're thinking, well, we're in the middle of the desert. Where is this flood going to come from, you know? Didn't understand some things like that. But, you know, God Almighty has been preaching for a long time, and a lot of people aren't listening. Really, we've got an awful lot of different kinds of churches and preachers today. And I guess there always has been. But if you don't like our King James fundamental belief, salvation by grace, eternal security, everything on the glory of Jesus, just go down the road. There'll be some nice guy that will hug you when you walk through the door. And he'd just be so sweet to you, and he will not hurt your feelings, he will not insult you, and he will not embarrass you. And we got guys that saying, if you love the Lord, well, you're going to be rich and drive Cadillacs and own your own business. We've got the prosperity gospel going out everywhere. But even in that, believe on Jesus and be saved. Isn't it amazing? It's going out over radio, television, all sorts of printing. It's out over the internet. You got all sorts of ways. You've got no excuse when you come up before God and say, I didn't believe and I didn't want this or whatever and I didn't understand. And nobody, yes, somebody got to you. Somebody preached the truth to you. You don't have any excuse. You got an excuse, no excuse, way to go. I tell you what he says here. Breastplates, like breastplates of iron. Sound of their wings, sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Now remember, we have a man describing a vision. And we have to look at the place where he is. If you can, it may make a difference whether he's standing on earth or whether he's standing in heaven. And God took him up there and showed him this. Tails like unto scorpions, the stings in their tail are powers to hurt men 5 months. That a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. These guys are seeking death. Now look at verse 12. One woe is past. One woe is past. There come two woes more hereafter. I would think one woe would be enough to get me repenting. I don't know how big these locusts are. They talk like locusts, so they're probably 3 or 4 inches. They might be bigger. I don't know. We're not given a size, except he said they look like locusts. And so I'm assuming locusts between 1 and 3 inches, probably. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a locust that'd be 5 or 6 inches or something. But you got all these little things. You know what? One day I was removing some brush at my place in Burney. And I went into that brush chopping, and about 40 bees stung me. They come out of the ground. They weren't in a tree. They were down under the ground. They weren't yellow and black. They were white and black, and they were about half the size of a honeybee. But boy, let me tell you, that sting hurt. And I was very cautious about them. And if something was going to sting me and it looked like this, and the sting was going to last 5 months, and they get your attention. If you ever get stung by a scorpion, it will get your attention. I'd be scared. You know what I did? I went and covered myself up real good, and then I called my son-in-law, who used to be a guy that treated houses for bugs and stuff like that. And he told me what to do. And I did it, and I had fun. I killed all of them. I was a mass murderer. I turned that poison over with a bucket on the hole where they came out of the ground. And, oh, I loved it. Now, one woe is past. Now, he said they had three woes. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Now, we were looking at the earth just now, all of these creatures coming out of hell, coming on the earth, causing men to want to die. Now, verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, did you know that there's four angels right now bound in the river Euphrates? That's what it says. They're bound there. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Wow. They know the day. God knows the day. I mean, the angels may not know the day, but they're prepared for what? A day and an hour. It's not something that's random. It's something that's been prepared and prepared for a long time. And some of those, I read you, the Old Testament prophets and even Jesus Christ saying, all of these things are happening, but what's going to happen in the future is a day like no other ever happened on the face of the earth. And if it weren't for the mercy of God, even the elect would not have been saved. But by the mercy of God, he's protected them and he carries them, and they're going to go through and come out of it. Interesting thought. All right, we've got four angels prepared in the river Euphrates for an hour, a day, a month, and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now, when we have a plane crash and 175 people die, man, it hits the whole world. When we have a ship go down, some of those carriers, I think, actually carry about 5,000 men. Some of those aircraft carriers. I think that's about right. You knock one down, that's 5,000 men. Now, what happened to us at this little church down here in Sutherland Springs? 20 or 30 people, half of them young, died. That's a tragedy. It's still on the news all the time. And people are raising money, and they're, even we are, the elders, are preparing, how can we possibly protect the church? And what do we need to do, and how do we need to do it? And that's all ongoing at the present time. What about the third part of men? That's a big tragedy. How many men are alive? Well, we've got, what, 7, 8 billion? Billion. 7 or 8 billion. You know, people are talking about too many people being born. Well, after what I read in the book of Revelation, you're not going to have any population problem. A lot of people are going to die. Now, when this woe comes and this angel sounds here, it said that they're going to slay the third part of men. That's a big number. Well, think again. Noah, the ark, what happened to the rest of the earth? Eight people survived. Just eight people. And you and I are descendants of those eight people. Everybody on the face of the earth is a descendant of those eight people. All of Adam's race was removed except those eight. Well, right here we've got a great number. Now look at verse 16. And the number of his army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. What's 1,000,000? Million. 200 million. I don't know that we've ever gathered an army anywhere that had 200 million soldiers. I mean, World War I was bad. World War II was bad. Our little police actions in Korea and Vietnam and Iraq and a lot of places like that took a lot of lives. And we don't like our sons going in lives. Pray for the soldiers. You pray for your son to come back home. Praying for your husband to come back home. I happen to be a peacetime soldier. I was in through 55 to 59, my 4 years in the Air Force. And I never shot at anybody, and I never was shot at.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank the Lord. And I once guarded a prisoner without a bullet. It was like Andy Griffith's show, you know. I've got my 30 caliber carbine, you know. Got a banana clip that'll hold 30. And I'm guarding this prisoner, and he knows I don't have a bullet. I felt a little foolish, to tell you the truth. But what you're talking about is 200 million men. Well, you reckon you can raise that many out of 7 billion? You won't have a problem. And especially if they don't like God. And what it looks like in here is the people of the world don't like God. Isn't that something? The number of the army, the horsemen, were 200,000, so 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth. And remember, the man is looking and in using words trying to describe what he sees. And so it looks like they got breastplates of fire on them. They're coming out of hell. There's a whole lot of smoke. They may be burning. I don't know what jacinth is. It's a stone. It's a color that probably would be important to somebody that knew that. Brimstone, that's like a volcano. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions. Here we are again. He said, you know what those horses look like? They didn't look like horses. They look like lions in their mouth. Out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, I have read people who are trying to interpret the book of Revelation, and they're trying to modernize it so it would fit in with modern armies. And they're talking about helicopters and tanks and stuff like that. I don't think that's true. I don't believe that's what it is. I don't believe he saw tanks and helicopters and described them this way. By these three was the third part of men killed. Okay, you got a third of your men are going to die. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth. This is wild too. I don't like snakes. Their tails were like unto serpents and their heads, and with them they do hurt. I've killed a bunch of snakes in my life. One day I was out visiting in the country. I actually killed a rattlesnake and won a soul to the Lord. That was a good day. Killed a rattlesnake and won a soul to the Lord. I said, wow, that was a good day. How would you like these things? I don't know. I'm not sure we're all looking at the same thing at the same time. But you got monsters coming out here, and he's got a mouth like a lion. Anybody here scared of a lion? Are you going to stick your head in the mouth of a lion? I know people that have lions and panthers and stuff like that for pets, like dogs. I've even known dogs to go bad and bite their own owners. And what about a lion? I mean, you don't stand a chance. Well, that's pretty scary. These are monsters like we've never seen. And they're monsters right out of hell. And the angel is loosing them on the earth. This is scary stuff. It's really scary stuff. And then it says their power is in their mouths, verse 19, in their tails. Their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with them to do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, look at verse 20, and those two words there, repented not. That's the most amazing thing of all of it. They hate God. They run into the caves, hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. They are in torment for 5 months. What do? Do they repent? Do they say, I'm sorry, God? Oh, God, forgive me? No. Look what it describes. Verses 20 and 21. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Hey, idolatry is outright stupidity, isn't it? Idolatry? You make you a god, and you pray to that god, and that's your god? No wonder you don't have any confidence in God if you do things like that. It's a piece of wood, or it's a piece of gold. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That is a description that is just amazing to me. Now, personally, I believe it's true. I made up my mind a long time ago what this book said was true. And this fits with the verses I read to you at the very start. Here's Jesus, Matthew 24, 21 and 22. There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Day of trouble, known in the Bible as Jacob's trouble, because Israel is going to be cleansed, and Israel is going to be judged. And God has sealed them and going to shorten the time, and there's going to be Israel coming out the end of it. Now, think about this for a minute. Have you heard of any Mohicans lately? Any Hittites? Do you know anybody like it? But they're still Jews. I don't think anybody has ever been so prejudiced against as the Jews. Now, Jews in Europe became the bankers. And here in the States, I'll bet you if you look in the high places of finance or Hollywood, you're going to find Jews by the big time. Now, most of them have just forgotten their religion, and they don't really worship the God of heaven anymore. They're atheists. Most of them are. But the callings of God are without repentance, the Bible says. He's made up his mind that he's going to take care of this and fulfill some of his prophecies. And so I think they're going to come out at the end. But here's what they said. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Wow. Wow. Repented not. You know, you might ought to have a little tender conscience and repent often. Amen. Like every day. Amen. I sort of have to. Oh, Lord, there I am again. Sometimes I'll say something and I think, why did I say that? Why? Why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said it in that way. Oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. Lord, help me out. Lord, why did you make me this way? I blame God, you know. You do too. Amen. No, we ought to be repenting. You ought to have a tender conscience before God. Amen. God knows what you are. He made you. He sees down inside you. He knows why you are what you are. He understands your situation completely. But you know, I just have to repent. And sometimes I've even repented of the same thing. And I get the thought in my mind, you big dummy, God's already forgotten that already. Yeah. You've already repented of that. Why keep repenting of it? But it's still in your mind, you know. And you think about the foolishness and whatever. Well, looks like a scary time is in the future. Well, God bless you.